see all of you on this beautiful Sunday morning. Well, we've got lots of visitors today, and we're proud to have you with us. I'm glad you're here because we got gobs of folks out today. So we've got those traveling. We've got several families that are sick and others that are out. So we're just glad you're here. Want to invite you back. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you come and worship with us here at Milton. But it's just good to be together today. We're going to talk about Jesus today. That's a good thing to talk about, isn't it? Talk about Jesus. We're talking about Jesus and who Jesus is and His nature and why He is worthy of our worship and our praise. And hopefully these will be lessons or points, thoughts that maybe you know, and maybe we'll look at them in a little different way. And for some of us, maybe these will be concepts that maybe we haven't thought about. But who is Jesus? We talk about Jesus, but who is Jesus? And what does He mean to us? Why do we wear His name, the name of Christ? What has Jesus done, and who is He? Was He just an historical figure, born a couple of thousand years ago in Palestine, or is He more than that? And I bet you can gather that I'm going to say He's much, much more than that. I want to read from Colossians chapter 1 as we begin today. He, talking about Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all His fullness dwell in Him, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through His blood shed on the cross. So who is Jesus? Jesus did not come into existence in Bethlehem a couple thousand years ago. Jesus has always existed. Jesus is God and is a part of God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. But Jesus has always existed. Before the creation of the world, Jesus existed. And everything that we know was created by Jesus. It's what John will tell us. That nothing was created that He didn't create. That Jesus is the active agent in creation. So everything that was created and has been created, Jesus was involved in, because Jesus, like the Father, has always existed. Jesus not only portrayed God, but Jesus is God. Jesus is God the Son, part of God and has God's nature. And Jesus was with the Father and has returned back to the Father. And we'll talk about that. But Jesus is the Son of God who has always existed and created everything that we know and see. Even those things, Paul will say, that we don't see Jesus created. Those things that are visible and those things that are invisible. Jesus, God the Son, has tremendous power like the Father. And that's who Jesus is. So when we worship an almighty God, Jesus is a part of almighty God and worthy of our worship and worthy of our praise. It's important to note that because there's lots of thoughts that Jesus is just a great teacher. Or Jesus was just a man who was chosen. Jesus was just wise, or Jesus was just someone filled with the Spirit. And He ranks with great prophets like Elijah or Isaiah or great men like Abraham and like Moses. But Jesus is totally different from them because Jesus is God. But Jesus not only is God, but Jesus did empty Himself, the Scripture will tell us, did not think equality with God, having the very nature of God, being God, something to be grasped or something to be held onto, but Jesus emptied himself and became a man. And so Jesus was born in Bethlehem to Mary, who was his earthly mother, and Jesus was human. Jesus is God, and Jesus became a human being. He didn't just take on the impression of a human being. He didn't just dress up like a human being. He wasn't a hypocrite. I wanted to use that term because I knew it would wake you up. He was not an actor. He was not portraying a human. But Jesus became a human. That's totally different. It's totally different because actors take on roles. You know, and they, good actors, at least that I'm told, they study the character and the background of the character, and they kind of take on that character. But that's not who they are. They're a different person. But they play a character. And maybe they do a great job. Make them very believable, but that's still not who they are. And I always think it's interesting, because I like, as well as John Wayne, I have to throw that in, because you know, if I don't talk about John Wayne, something's not right. But I watch the Andy Griffith Show. But it's interesting, it's the Andy Griffith Show, but his character is Andy Taylor. Right? He's Andy Taylor in the show. That's not Andy Griffith, nor is he Matlock. That's a different individual who plays a character. Maybe a character we enjoy, but plays a character. But Jesus didn't come in the form of a man and acted like a man. Jesus became a man. He was God and man. Why is that important? Why is that important? Because the Scripture will tell us that Jesus was tempted in every way like you and I are. Jesus suffered very real temptations. If he'd just been God who took on the form of a man and had not emptied himself and become a man, then those temptations wouldn't have had the same impact. But Jesus had emotions and desires and struggles just like you and I have. And so he did know sadness at the loss of loved ones. He didn't understand temptation. He was tempted when Satan came to tempt him. He had struggles in relationships. He was a man. He had struggles with women. Now, does the Scripture tell us that? No. But he was a man. I guarantee he did. And that's no slam. Right? Because men have trouble with women and women have trouble with men. When I say trouble, it's just something that we have to learn to deal with. Right? There are sexual desires and temptations. There's the struggle that we don't understand each other completely or at all. And Jesus went through all of those things as well. But he learned respect. And he lived. Now you know you're hitting home when people start hitting each other in your sermon. They start poking each other, you know. But Jesus still, and I always want to remind us, because we forget that Jesus was a human being, and so the struggles you have are the struggles that I have are the struggles that Jesus had. Now, do we have different issues in our lives? We do. But the Scripture tells us Jesus understands. Jesus understands the struggles because he lived through them. And Jesus not only has always existed and was the Creator, and he came 100% as a man. He is God and man. But he lived as a man as God would live. Jesus was perfect. We talked about that a little bit in class this morning. But to sin, the term sin. And normally when we think about sin, we think about doing something wrong. Right? If you say, I sinned, I did something wrong. Usually it's an act, and we realize that by not doing good, we can sin. But we normally think about, but Jesus was perfect in that in every situation of life, everything he taught, everything he did it as God would do. He lived as God would have us live. He lived as God, as man. So when we look at Jesus and His life, He did nothing that wasn't what God would have done. Not only did He not commit the big sins, He lived life as God would have us live. He lived perfectly as God. But He did that as a human being. It's almost beyond belief, isn't it? I mean, I can intellectually grasp it. You can as well. But when I think about all the things that we go through in life, that Jesus lived perfectly. Jesus was perfect. Wow. But that's who Jesus is. And is worthy of our worship because He is God, who came as a man and lived perfectly. And in His teachings and in His example, we know how God would have us live. We know how God wants us to live. In the teachings of Jesus, we have the Word and the nature of God. Because Jesus says, I know the Father. Why? Because I came from the Father. He and I are one. We are one. And so the way He lived and the way He taught are the ways of God, the ways of the Father. Jesus also came as a sacrifice. Jesus came as a sacrifice. It's been our lesson the last couple of weeks in our class, and we meet at 9:15 on Sunday morning, and we've been talking about sin and salvation over the last couple of weeks. I invite you to come and join us in our class times. We have classes for all ages. But we've talked about sin and about God bringing about redemption. And He does that through the sacrifice of Jesus. Jesus became the perfect Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. John the Baptizer recognized that. Abraham recognized it was coming. Abraham recognized it was coming. I never cease to be amazed what the patriarchs and the great men of the Old Testament knew and so many things that they didn't. But you know, Abraham was willing to offer his son because he believed in resurrection. And when Abraham goes to offer his son and Isaac asks the question, where is the sacrifice? You remember that? Abraham says, God will provide. God will provide. And He did provide the perfect sacrifice through Jesus. Under the old law, there's animal sacrifice that had to be repeatedly made. There were daily sacrifices. There were annual sacrifices. They had to be repeatedly made because the blood of bulls and goats was not sufficient to forgive sin. The life of bulls and goats was not sufficient to forgive sin. But God sent His only Son, who came as a man, and went to the cross and gave His life, shed His blood, that we might have forgiveness of sins. Because He did not die for His own sins. The Hebrew writer will tell us that on the Day of Atonement, the high priest would go before the Holy of Holies, and he would make sacrifice and atonement for himself and for the people. But Jesus makes no atonement for Himself because He had no sin. But He took our sin to the cross with Him that we can be forgiven. That we might be forgiven. Jesus gave His life, shed His blood, became the perfect sacrifice, the Passover lamb, if you will. And we are washed in His blood, cleansed in His blood. And just as the destroyer saw the blood over the doorpost in Egypt, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from the destruction of sin. So Jesus became the sacrifice, the payment for sin for us. He deserves our worship because Jesus freely gave of Himself. It was a choice Jesus made. He emptied Himself of being God and became a man, and not only a man, but He gave Himself on the cross at great cost because He was a human being, remember? So in the cross, in the garden, the night before His arrest, when Jesus is paying in anguish, just imagine if tonight you knew that in the night you were going to be arrested and you were going to be beaten, you were going to be spat on, and then you were going to be nailed to a cross and you were going to die. You were going to go into the realm of your enemy, of Satan, place of death. Would you be in anxiety today? Yeah, you surely would. It's like, I've heard many accounts, you know, and we see it on the movies. I guess none of us have witnessed it in person, and I don't care to. But always when someone is sentenced to death, they get a last meal request. You know, whatever you want for your last meal. And one of the ministers who had ministered to folks on death row said, I've never seen anybody eat it. Because why? Facing death just takes your appetite. So Jesus is going through that anguish to the point that he sweats drops of blood. He's under that kind of mental and physical anguish. But what does Jesus pray? Father, if it's possible, let this cup pass from me. Let this thing that I have to do, let it pass. Let me not have to do this. But not my will, but your will be done. Jesus, with his eyes open, knew the cost. And he paid it for us. Paul will write, the scripture will tell us that Jesus then was the first fruits of all of us who'll be raised from the dead. The first fruits. The first of many. Because God raised Jesus from the dead. The first to be raised, not to die again. Death no longer had claim. Jesus, if you will, busted open the doors of death. He overcame because that was and is the power of sin, death. And Jesus overcame it. Jesus, or God through Jesus, overcame the power of death. And so you and I have the hope and the promise of resurrection and eternal life. That death doesn't have control over us, which has been the doom of mankind since Adam and Eve. The coming of death. But now we know there is the promise of eternal life. And we know that because Jesus was raised. There was an argument, pretty substantial, even among people in the church. The argument came out that there was really no resurrection from the dead. That Christ really wasn't raised from the dead. And Paul said, if that's the truth, if there is no resurrection from the dead, or if Christ wasn't raised from the dead, there is no resurrection. And if there is no resurrection, our faith is in vain. This is a waste of all of our time. But Paul said, the fact of the matter is, Christ was raised. That he did die, and he was raised from the dead, and that there is resurrection. And just like Christ was raised, we'll be raised. When Jesus returns, the dead will be raised from the tomb. And those of us who are still alive will meet them in the air. Jesus is the first to show that there is power over death. And Jesus has now been exalted to the right hand of God. He has been returned back from whence he came. He's gone back and now sits at the right hand of the Father. And it is through the very name of Jesus that we approach the Father in prayer. And that Jesus is our advocate, our attorney, our lawyer with the Father. Our God is benevolent and good. But does God know what it is to be tempted? God the Father? It's a legitimate question. No. Because there's no darkness in God at all. None. He's all light. But Jesus, does He know the struggles of living a human life? And we talked about that. He was tempted in every way. Not only was He tempted, He experienced life as you and I experience it. The joys and the pains. The victories and the struggles. The mundane and the exciting. He experienced it all. Because He lived as a human. And now He pleads our case. As we go through Him in prayer, Jesus pleads our case with the Father. Isn't it great to have someone who understands? All of us like to talk to someone with whom we can reconnect, right? Who understands where we are. Who understands our struggles. And Jesus knows. Jesus empathizes because He has lived where you and I live. And in Him we continue to have our existence. Paul would say to the Colossians that He holds everything together. That Christ is active and permeates everything that is around us. and holds it together, and that He is the head over the body, the church. Those who are called to be children of God, Jesus is the head who guides us and protects us and leads us. Jesus is worthy of our praise and our worship and our faith because Jesus has always existed. He is God and the Creator. Everything that we see and even can't see, Jesus created. And I've shared this with you before. I'm still fascinated by it. Not only is God the Creator, He's the designer. The creation is here. It's been designed and created. And you know, we're continually finding new things all the time. Something came out, I think last week, some waves from a black hole that collided with another black hole back in time, sometime way back apparently, and left waves, and now proves the rest of Einstein's theory of relativity, maybe one of those theories. And so it's a big deal. How did Einstein know? That blows my mind. What the things that Albert Einstein and other great minds have known. To hear 100 years later, but we have been building theories on them and they tend to hold true. It's an amazement to me. But here's what's amazing. That God designed and created this from nothing. And now that it's here, we can't even look at it and figure it all out. That's who our Lord is. Who lived as a human, who gave Himself as a sacrifice that we might have eternal life, whom God raised from the dead as a promise, as an escrow payment of what's coming for us, resurrection. And now He's exalted back to the right hand of the Father, where He pleads our case and where He prepares a place for us. The good news of the gospel. Our Lord is worthy of worship because of who He was and who He continues to be and what He does on our behalf. The Scripture will tell us, or Jesus will tell us, recorded in the Scripture, that He's going to prepare a place. And as surely as He goes to prepare a place, He will return again to take us where He is. None of us deserve it. All of us are sinners. But the perfect Son of God, the Lamb, takes away the sins of the world, went to the cross and died that we might be forgiven. He calls on us to believe in Him, to confess Him, and walk in the ways of God. You need to come today to go to the Lord's invitation. We'd encourage you to do that while we stand and sing.
Have you been to